Hello everyone. Welcome to our midweek Bible study online. It's always a pleasure to have you join us if you can't go to a home friendship group. So we have been looking at studies on the resurrection in preparation for Easter. And it's been thoroughly enjoyable so far, and this is the second lesson. Let me just read from what the lessons are all about. The story of Jesus Christ's death, burial and resurrection is known all over the world by Christians and non-Christians alike. It is the gospel, the hope of all humanity. The focus of Easter is not just on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fact that he is risen. Now the focus tonight is going to be about Jesus' burial. Just as Jesus was buried, we need to bury the dead spiritual parts in our lives, that is, our sin, through repentance, baptism, and submission to God. That means obedience. Last week, you heard that repentance is a total turnaround. As I've indicated in my ministry in the church in the past, the word repent used to be a military word over 100 years ago, and the officer would tell the soldiers while they were marching, repent. And then they would do an about turn. So that's the true meaning of the word, to do a total turnaround. To repent is to decide to turn from a sinful life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a brief review of what you studied last week. The story of Jesus' death, burial and resurrection is known all over the world to both Christians and non-Christians. People wear crosses, they wear stickers on their motor car, crosses, and it's talked about at Easter. In fact, just about every Easter you will see special movies on the television depicting the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we only focused on certain things about Easter, we would do Jesus' death, burial and resurrection a disservice. So the focus tonight is the fact that Jesus was buried and, praise the Lord, he rose again. None of this would be relevant unless Jesus rose from the dead. Last week we talked about the cross and how because of Jesus' death he paid the penalties of sin. You studied last week about his death. It was brutal, and Jesus truly suffered and died for us. So let's turn to the scriptures. Take your Bibles. Let's turn to the scriptures in Mark chapter 15, 42 to 47. Mark 15, 42 to 47. Today we are going to discuss Jesus' burial and the meaning of it to us. Mark 15, verse 42. And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the preparation for the Sabbath, for the Sabbath, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable counsellor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved, or strongly requested, the body of Jesus. And Pilate marvelled if he had already been dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him, whether he had been dead a while. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He gave Joseph the permission to take it down, take the body off the cross. Verse 46. And Joseph of Arimathea bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. So as I said last week in the study, we looked at Jesus' incredibly gruesome death and the torture he was put through even before he was placed upon the cross. Thinking about dead bodies, we don't like to think about dead bodies, but dead bodies need to be buried. In a similar way, we have to bury our old life and the old person. That is the state we were in before we met Jesus. That all has to be buried. The old life must be buried. This is done through baptism. Then we can embrace the new life that Jesus Christ will give us. But it's not just a matter of repenting. A lot of people believe all that you need to do is believe and repent. But we must put action behind what we are believing. Yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent of our sin, and then we must put our repentance into action. We must die to our old selves and submit to baptism. Submitting to baptism is our part. Yes, we repent, and then the Bible says we must be baptized. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14, it talks about faith. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not works? Can faith save him? In other words, can your faith save you without any sort of action? Of course not. Because in James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it has not works, that's action, being alone. It likens it to somebody who sees his brother and sister naked and destitute of daily bread. In verse 12 it says, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? So in that case, action was needed to help the person, and we need to have action as well. Now I thought to go back to the Old Testament and have a look at some things in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, there are many narrative accounts of things that the Israelites did and things that they experienced. Many of these are pictures of what would be fulfilled in the New Testament. Some of you may know, some may not. These are often referred to as shadows or types. If I have a shadow, you look at my shadow, that's not me. But I'm the one who's casting the shadow. So you follow the shadow and you'll find the substance. For instance, the sacrificial lamb that was offered upon the altar for the sins of Israel was a shadow of Jesus' death on the cross. And that's why the Bible says he was the lamb of God. slain. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed lambs and other animals for their sins. In the New Testament, Jesus has died for our sins. Also, Israel's bondage in Egypt is a type of man's bondage to sin. We know from the story that Moses was God's man to lead them out of bondage. God spoke to him and directed him how to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. God instructed him to command the Israelites to kill a lamb and place the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the lintel of their houses. Why? Because God was going to send the angel of death on the Egyptians because of their refusal to let Israel go. Then there was going to be an angel of death come upon Egypt. The blood indicated there had been a death, and therefore the blood would protect them. In Exodus 12, verse 13, it speaks of this and says, "The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Then, as the angel of death came down and smote the firstborn in the houses where the blood had not been applied, Pharaoh said, "Okay, I'll let the Israelites go. I'll let the Israelites leave Egypt." But he changed his mind shortly afterwards and sent chariots to force them to return. By now, the Israelites had got as far as the Red Sea. And when the chariots of the Egyptians pursued them, they were trapped. The Egyptians behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. And that's where we read in the book of Exodus, where Moses held up his rod and said to the people of Israel, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Very appropriate words, because this is a type of our salvation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses then smote the water and the Red Sea parted. We've all heard about this before. The Israelites passed over on dry ground and the water closed behind them and drowned the pursuing Egyptians. What does this mean? This was a type of burial as they passed through those waters, where the power of the enemy was broken, because from that moment onward, then the waters of the Red Sea separated them from Egypt. So they were liberated. They were free. We read in the Bible, in the New Testament, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the water. So now let's go to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 6. If you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read from a modern translation in a minute. In Romans chapter 6, this letter of Romans was written to the Roman church in New Testament times. However, it contains some statements that will help us to understand baptism a little bit more. Here we can see the spiritual connection to Jesus Christ that we gain through baptism. There's a spiritual connection between our baptism and our connection with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Let me read the modern translation. "Well then," this is starting from verse 1, "should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Notice, since we have died to sin. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined to Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ in baptism. So here's the connection. When we are buried in the waters of baptism by full immersion, it's been buried with Jesus in his burial. But praise the Lord, it then says, and just as Christ rose from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So there's a death. That's why we say a person is born again. They are truly only born again after they raise up out of those waters to live a new life. It goes ahead and says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Let me tell you, as a young teenager, I was baptized in the titles. And eventually, I started going to a Pentecostal church. And that's where I met my wife. And I heard the word of God. But many times up until I started to go to the Pentecostal church, I still had a deep conviction of sin. I used to wonder, have I really been forgiven of my sin? Anyway, so when I studied the scriptures and read the book of Acts and the other baptisms accounted for in the book of Acts, I was convicted that I needed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that Jesus paid the price for my sin, and so therefore he was the one in whose name I should be baptized. The amazing thing about it is when I actually was baptized in Jesus' name, after I came up out of the waters from that day onwards, I did not have any question in my heart or my mind about whether Jesus had forgiven me of my past life. So baptism is a symbolic burial we do for the remission, to show the remission of our sins, or to show that we have repented of our sins. It's something public. When you actually repent, you can repent privately within your heart, just speaking to God. But when you are baptized, you are declaring that you're going to live for Jesus. In repentance, we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, but then we have to have our sins washed away. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached to some people that were very confused. They were convicted that the one they crucified upon the tree, upon the cross, was the Messiah. They said, what must we do? And Peter replied, repent, number one, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That word remission means for the forgiveness of your sins. When we remit a bill, we pay the bill. When we are baptized, our sins are paid for by Jesus. He is the one that paid for our sins. Nothing we do can pay for our sins. We can only be obedient to what God wants us to do. And then it says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not just enough for us to identify with his death. We must also identify with his burial. And this is the point tonight. A lot of people recognize that Jesus died upon the cross, and they repent. But do they follow through with the scriptures in Acts 2:38 and all the other occasions throughout the book of Acts and into the epistles that tell us that we need to repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? This pattern of blood, water, and spirit is stamped right through the scriptures. Right through the scriptures. Old Testament, right through many of the Old Testament stories, right into the New Testament. Salvation comes by blood, water, and spirit. Let's look at another connection here. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, 38 to 41, we read of a connection with an Old Testament story. A lot of us have heard about this, just like we know about Moses going through the Red Sea. And here again we read of death, burial, and resurrection. The person that's mentioned in that portion of Scripture is Jonah. If you ever looked at the story of Jonah, he was swallowed by a whale and spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. This is compared with what Jesus did for us. That is, Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the grave before he rose again. So Jonah's life or experience was a type of prophecy of what would happen to Jesus, the same as Moses' experience in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is a foreshadowing of what we need to do if we want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ in the plan of salvation. I can't stress enough, the old person must die. The old person must die, and the only way the old person can die is to be buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So we repent, and then we turn away from the bad things, the way that we have lived, and we turn wholeheartedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people say, well, when I got saved, I really didn't know a terrible lot. Well, it doesn't take a terrible lot. It's a heart experience that you have with God. Maybe you'll learn a lot more about Scripture later on and a lot more of the meaning of it like you're learning tonight. But it's all about your heart. It's all about turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. After that, our old man has to be buried. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Jonah was fully buried in the great fish. And we must be fully buried in water. I can't stress that. The word in Greek is the word baptizo, which the meaning of the word baptizo cannot be confused. It means to totally plunge under the water. It used to be a word that was used for dyeing skins. When you dye a skin, you don't sprinkle it. You plunge it under the dye. Get the dye right through it. Then we go to the Epistle of Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. Colossians 2, 11 to 15. And here, baptism is likened unto circumcision. Now, if we go to the Old Testament, we realize when Abraham commanded circumcision because God commanded it, this circumcision back in the Old Testament was the sign of a covenant with God. Now listen to the connection here. Colossians chapter 2 verse 11. In whom also you are crucified, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Next verse. So we ask, so what does that mean? Now the explanation. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's why Jesus died. He died on the cross for our sins. So here it's drawing a picture that, as it were, our sins have been nailed to the cross of Jesus, where he suffered. And having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Good verse to study. Get into it. Get into Romans chapter 6 and get into Colossians chapter 2 and have a study yourself. To be raised to a new life, we've first got to die. We must be buried with Jesus, fully immersed in water, and only then can our sins be washed away. Just like we remove dead people permanently from our living space, then we must be totally removed from our past life. The new birth experience that Jesus offers is similar. We put away our old life, that is our past beliefs, our actions and attitudes, so we can embrace the new life in Jesus, the new life that Jesus has offered to us, is giving to us. Okay, so that's basically it, but let me take it a little bit further and just challenge you. Where do we go from here? What happens after you've repented of your sin, you've been baptized in Jesus' name? So let's ask ourselves a few questions. Do I understand and believe in the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus? Question number one. Have I repented of my sins and been baptized in his name? The next one. Have I sought submission to his plan for my life and how I am proceeding in my walk with God? We need to continually examine that. Have I received the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me daily? It's absolutely vital that we identify where we are. This is something we need to do very often in our Christian life. I do it every time I pray. I question myself. I ask myself, where am I? Where am I going? And so baptism is only the first, repentance and baptism are only the first steps. After that, we must submit. We must be submissive and obedient. A lot of people, when they come to Jesus, have all sorts of ideas about what they want to be. But we must first complete the salvation plan, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Before you're saved, you can have a calling. But really, your calling can only be put into operation after you've been saved. Maybe you've felt to be called, maybe you've felt the call to become a minister of the gospel. Maybe to serve in music ministry. Maybe to do things in the community or even go overseas as a missionary or as a home missionary in Australia. The opportunities to serve God are endless. But we must pursue our calling. We just can't stay where we were. Repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and do nothing? No. Excuse me. Of course not. It can't be that way. Every one of us have a purpose to fulfill in the kingdom of God. And while you're waiting upon God to tell you precisely what to do, any sort of service is favourable. I say, do whatever you can while you're waiting for God to call you. In fact, before God gives you the final signal of what he wants you to do, he has a lot of preparing to do. And then, as you proceed, maybe a little bit frustrated at times, don't pull back. Stay full on. Seek the Lord every day. Some people, they make mistakes, and that's not unusual. You know, we're flesh, and this flesh is marred. In the gospel, in the Epistle of John, it says, do you say that you don't sin? The Bible says there, you make God a liar, because we do sin. We make mistakes. But God is ever ready to forgive us. And he wants us to move forward, not to become stagnant because of our failures, but to share the good news of Jesus with others. We must do this because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Evangelism and sharing our experiences with the lost is a priority. When we are obedient and embrace repentance and submission, being baptized in Jesus' name, we open up the door to God's goodness and blessing. I'll say again, don't flounder because of mistakes. I've often said in this church, if you trip, get up and move on. And you'll find Jesus will help you when you get up to stay up. But then you may fall again. Get up and move on. Continue to move forward. Grow in God. Grow in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we focus on God and put out all of the other distractions and ways in our life contrary to God's word, we can become men and women dedicated to the service of God. I ask you today, maybe you've been baptized before, maybe baptized in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but the Bible says we need to be baptized in the name of our Savior, the one who saved us, the name of Jesus. Study the Word of God. Get into the Word of God with an open heart. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. I trust this lesson tonight has been very helpful to you. And if you've got any questions, you can always come and ask Pastor. Ask some of the elders in the church. They'll take you through the scriptures and help you. But my challenge is to you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this lesson tonight. We thank you, Lord, that number one, it may have challenged us to do something we've not done before. maybe challenging us to be baptized in Jesus' name. Or Lord Jesus, it may be challenging us to move on in the strength of the power of the Spirit. Or Lord Jesus, maybe tonight we've just learned something a little bit more that we didn't know, so that we can appreciate what you have done for us in your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful Saviour to us. Thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins. Almighty God, who created the universe, who put everything into action so beautifully, Lord, that you would even consider us, as it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thank you, Lord, for being mindful of us. We think of ourselves as being insignificant, but Lord, when you're in our lives, we can be a very significant part of the kingdom of God and the work of God. Amen.